If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The American economy. Bloomberg with a promising headline. Yellen, that's Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen, former chair of the Federal Reserve. Yellen sees disinflation pressures at work as hiring surge fades. Subhead, Treasury Secretary speaks in interview on sidelines of G20. Subhead says hiring cooling, rents subsiding, supply chains loosening. All this points to the magic term, soft landing. I welcome Elizabeth Peake. Liz Peake writes a column for The Hill, a column for Fox News, much on Fox Business. Soft landing, Liz. This would have been heretical to mention last spring, but here it is. The Treasury Secretary, just back from Beijing, is looking at the market, at the markets, the labor markets cooling hiring by itself after 10 hikes by the Federal Reserve. The quote, "The intensity of hiring demands on the part of firms has subsided. The labor market's cooling without there being any real distress associated with it, i.e. no mass layoffs." Do we believe this, Liz? Because last week the Federal Reserve said mild recession is still coming. Good evening to you.
Good evening. I think the jury is out. Obviously, we don't have a crystal ball, but yes, people have gotten way more optimistic that we are going to slide through this cooling of inflation, this period where the Fed has so aggressively hiked interest rates without a big downturn. And yet there are still people who say, wait, we are looking at record level interest rate hikes, record level monetary tightening. Money supply is actually down year over year. The last time I think that happened, or it is down the most since the 1930s, John. So that's kind of something that makes your ears perk up a little bit. We have an inverted yield curve at almost a record level inverted yield curve. My favorite expression out of one of the Wall Street economists is everything is okay until it isn't. And that is looking back at the last several recessions when employment, hiring continues to go pretty well until all of a sudden it stops. And I think it's interesting that Janet Yellen cites cooling of hiring because that, of course, has been the administration's huge talking point. That's literally about the only thing that they can claim has gone well under this president is we have continued to add jobs. And if she's kind of willing to cede that that has hooked down, which I think is true, I think, you know, it kind of opens the door to saying, yeah, the economy is actually cooling and it may come to a dead stop or go negative. The other data point that's out, of course, today is retail sales, which missed by a big number. And retail sales are about where they were, according to one analysis, right before the 2001 recession. In other words, there are indicators that the economy is fragile. Other things I would point to, and you and I have talked about this, and I really still think this isn't getting enough notice, is that China is a mess. And China data keeps coming in weaker than expected. China has been the engine of growth for the Western world for decades, and it isn't there right now. It's not providing any kind of stimulus to Europe or to the United States. So I think it will be very, very fortunate to get through without a recession. I think it's still possible there will be one. I know that's now become sort of the outlier point of view. And since it is the outlier point of view, it may well be that the Fed signals that at the end of the month when they raise rates. I mean, that's kind of a given at this point that they're going to raise rates another quarter, 25 basis points. But they, in terms of their forecast and their language, they may talk about that being the last one, or, you know, that it, that odds are that they've gone far enough or whatever. I think a lot of people would say that's right, that, that we really don't need much more in the way of interest rate hikes because it's already been destabilizing to the banks. It could be destabilizing to other sectors of the economy. So I think maybe it's time to pause, and maybe that's what's going to happen. But that does not guarantee that we're not going to slide into a recession.
The talk of the Federal Reserve meeting next week, I just want to confirm what I've heard from the talk, is that after 10 rate hikes, there will be an 11th. And then Mr. Powell will come out and characterize that they're watching data. Is that what Wall Street expects? No half point? No, we're looking to be more aggressive? So everything is already priced in. Is that correct, Liz?
I think that is what people expect, and I'm guessing that's what he'll do. I think what people will be listening for very carefully and looking at the dot plots and sort of what everybody's forecasts are is whether the Fed has become optimistic that the cooling of inflation is permanent, is durable, and we're not going to see the numbers begin to tick back up again. That, I think, John, is a little bit of a leap of faith, and I don't think that, that the Fed is going to assume that. There's a lot of people who think that the June number was particularly beneficial or benefited from a lot of things that had to do with where we were last year as opposed to where we're going, and that the inflation rate could begin to just tick up a little bit. And don't forget, year over year, we're nowhere near 2% yet. So, you know, I think the battle's not yet won. Wall Street, I think, is ahead of itself in assuming that it is. And I think if the Fed sort of kind of makes that obvious, talks about data determining whether or not there are more rate hikes, but suggesting that the door is definitely open to more rate hikes, yes, I think that the market's not going to like to hear that.
The puzzle for me is the spending. The administration and Congress, but especially the administration, has a lot of money to spend over these next years. And yeah. I believe that that spending is a driver for inflation. So aren't we getting a contradiction here? Yellen saying disinflation, yeah. and the White House is happy to throw money at anything because they've got trillions to spend. And that maintains the inflation, correct?
Yeah. And I mean, I think the best thing you can say is there's an old adage on Wall Street about don't fight the Fed. The person who's fighting the Fed right now is Joe Biden. And with, you know, he just came out having lost in the Supreme Court with his plan to forgive all the student loan debt, which is kind of a big deal. It's like $500 billion of spending or more. Now he came out with a new program, and that too apparently is going to be $400 or $500 billion. So it seems like the government cannot get enough of spending money. It's ironic because, you know, go back a year and a half or so, Jay Powell was saying, look, you know, during the COVID downturn, we can't do the kind of stimulus you want simply with lower rates. You also have to spend money. There surely should be some conversations between the Federal Reserve and the Treasury right now about we can't do the kind of slowing of inflation that will be permanent and what you want without also the federal government spending less money. I think, John, you're going to see in the appropriations process coming up as Congress gets through writing all those spending bills for next year, I think you're going to see tremendous pressure on those bills. I think the Freedom Caucus in the House, but also moderate Republicans in the House are going to say, no mas. We've done too much. We're still spending. Our deficit through the first three quarters of this current fiscal year is, I think, over $2 trillion. This is a real problem, and Democrats are simply ignoring it, refusing to deal with it, and the White House is leading that charge. So I think there's going to be more conversation about that. I hope some rigorous argument, let's put it that way, in the fall about spending levels.
The markets, especially the equity markets, they're a bull that wants to run, and you indicate that they're ahead of themselves. But isn't that the way they do it, Liz? They just buy, buy, buy. And if it works out, they're geniuses. And if it doesn't, they reverse course and they're just like everybody else. Gee, we were wrong. We'll get it right next time.
So. Yeah. I mean, look, we're looking at an earnings season that's not very exciting. Ultimately, earnings are going to drive this bus.
Right.
And investors have to be pretty optimistic about demand going forward, about pricing levels and everything else. Don't forget, inflation has been very good for the earnings of a lot of companies. So if inflation really is headed down and if demand is headed down, earnings prospects for next year aren't going to look too terrific, which is why the market gains have been pretty concentrated in tech. More lately, they have branched, it's broadened out, which is a good sign. And, you know, look, it may be that investors are willing to look beyond, let's say, two quarters of downturn in the beginning of 2025 or end of 2024 into 2025 and be pricing stocks based on the aftermath. I hope so. I mean, look, we all want the stock market to go up. It's good for America. It's good for investors. It's just I'm not sure that we're out of the woods here in terms of the basic drivers of the economy.
Elizabeth Peake. Liz Peake writes a column for The Hill, a column for Fox News, much on Fox Business, looking at the American economy. Now we look at the American political class as it prepares for a presidential year. And the question about middle class Joe, where is the middle class right now? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Mack.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.